Hello, everyone. Let's get all settled in. This is a Q&A call. We are wrapping up Urges 2.0 month for everyone. If you're brand new to NoBS and you're finding your way to this call because you're using the training calendar, welcome. This call, how we do things here at NoBS is every month there is something that we focus on, and we are wrapping up for September, talking all about urges and how we deal with them and all the things. And then these Wednesday calls, I usually teach a little something and then I answer questions in the Q&A. So let me get up everybody that I need to have on stage and all kinds of stuff. Let me get the chat going. So Coach Lisa is going to be on stage with me, which means that she will be answering questions in the Q&A. And then anything that she needs to save for me, she will save for me. So I'm going to teach and then I'll answer some stuff. And we just make this where y'all can learn all you need in order to lose your weight. So without further ado, let me just say one more time, if you're brand new to NoBS, these calls are optional. You do not have to attend them. You need to make your way through the Quick Start and the NoBS Weight Loss course. You need to be planning your food each day using our planner. And that's the minimum of what we want to do. Like, we want to get those things done first and foremost before we layer in anything extra. Extra helps with like filling in gaps and stuff. But in order to fill in a gap, you need a foundation to see where your gaps are. So you got to take the NoBS weight loss course. Now, let's do this. Also, one last thing about these calls. They are always recorded. They are always put into replay. So you can get them as a video replay in our on-demand library, which is in the NoBS website, or you can listen to them in the live trainings in your NoBS private member podcast. All right. Let me pull up all my notes. Like I said, today is going to be me answering questions. I would love to keep this call to answering questions about urges, since we are wrapping up Urges Month here at NoBS. I want to also make the announcement that the new NoBS modules 1 and 2 have been released. So newbies, you got it before you even joined. My elders, you want to go back and you want to re-listen. I am already seeing inside the Facebook group all types of ahas from people who are like, okay, this is making sense. This is what I needed to hear. I'm touching on the things that y'all usually have to ask questions about. I've baked it all in. So make sure that you go back and you listen to those lessons. As a membership, we are going to spend the entire month on NoBS. So next week, we will focus in on Module 1. The following week, we will be all things Module 2 about the 4 N's and the new way that I'm teaching it there. Then we will move into overeating, and then we'll move into staying on track. So we're going to spend the month of October really diving into the basics of the NoBS weight loss course. All right. We also have, let's see, there's something else I wanted to cover. Okay. So this week we had 21 people join the Queen's Club. So let's give everybody who joined the Queen's Club a round of applause. That's a good amount. And Karen said, NoBS is so encouraging. There's so much negativity in the world. It's nice to have a place you can go and ask questions and share triumphs that others may not understand and get such positivity and encouragement. I'm finally learning that I don't have to let my thoughts control me, that I can control and choose and guide my thoughts. It is life-changing. I use these techniques in every area of my life, not just for weight loss. Thank you, Karen. And I want to let you know, we also had 3 women hit Century Club this week, which means 3 people just lost 100 pounds. And we had 14 people reach their goal weight just this week and enter our maintenance group. Someone was asking, what is new for Module 1? The entire thing. Modules 1 and 2 were completely rewritten and completely refilmed and redone from head to toe. You just need to watch them to figure out all the goodness. So I added in the phases of change. I added in some really good stuff to Modules 1 and 2. All right, let's talk about urges and how the phases of change relate to urges. So When you listen to module one of No BS, the final lesson is now the phases of change. This whole year, I have been talking about the phases of change and how they relate to us. If you watched this week's workshop on Sunday, if you were there for the entire workshop, you know that the second lesson was all about the phases of change. So we're going to talk about how does change work specifically when it comes to your urges. So let me clean my glasses because Corinne can't see through all the makeup that's on them. Oh, I'm so blind. All right. So phase one of the behavior change is always, it's the waking up stage. So this is where your brain is just starting to wake up. So when it comes to your urges, this is how you know that you are in the waking up phase. One of the early signs is you start discovering you actually have an overeating window that you hadn't noticed before. Or what I often see y'all do is you will say sweeping judgments and bullshit like this. I have no control over food. I overeat all the time, Corinne. Like in your mind, there's never these moments of control. And when you describe it that way, sounds like shit and feels like shit. But I want you to really think about this. Most of the time, we have specific windows. Now, you might have three windows a day. You might have four different types during a month. You might, like, for me, one of my overeating windows is typically on the weekends. Like, that's a big window. For some of us, we have the overeating window at night. Some people, it's right after school. For some people, their overeating window is right around their period. So I want you to think about this. Your overeating window doesn't just mean a certain time of day. It can be all kinds of patterns. And it's very normal that as you start using doable hunger, as you start planning your food, the whole purpose of doing both of those is not to be perfect. Let me say it again for the lady in the back who was half-assed listening while dicking around on my call. We don't plan our food and we don't use doable hunger to be perfect. We use them as structure, not only to make weight loss easier, but to unearth the times we need to now zero in on and work on and figure out what's going on for us. I hope all of you get this, because some of y'all are trying to use, you're bastardizing my four basics. You're trying to use planning and stuff as some type of measuring stick of your perfectionism. Am I good at this? Will I succeed? Does this mean I'm lazy? Does this mean I'm broken? Does this mean I'm doing good enough? Like, whatever it is. I give you the, like, especially the planner. I give you the planner so that you make plans. You start learning how to redesign your relationship with food. You take away all the decisions you have to make each day around food and stuff. But it's also there. Like, there's a habit tracker in there for a reason. It is to help illuminate what you need to work on. Those things and other diets you never have worked on. Like boredom eating, stress eating. Sitting there, like, eating to feel comforted at night because you don't know how to talk to yourself in any other way than an asshole. That's the purpose. So when you're in that first phase, the waking up phase, you're probably going to start noticing, like, your habit tracker. There's certain days, certain times, certain emotions, certain people. Overeating windows are all of those things. For some of us, we only overeat with certain people. We have, like, our eating buddies. For some of us, we only overeat during certain emotional times. Like, when I'm stressed, I'm pretty good until the shit hits the fan, Corinne. Or certain levels of stress. Like, I can handle a lot of stress, but this particular stressor, if it has to do with my kids, it's a no. I only know how to do something like eat when I'm stressed out about them. Sometimes it's times. Sometimes it's certain environments. I have my friend Jane. I'll use her as an example. For a long time, you know, she's a binge eater. And for a long time, airports were a problem for her. I remember so many trips we would take together. And the last thing I would tell her before, like, we would go to the airport, you know, we'd get to a certain city where we were going to take off to different places. And I would look at her and I'd say, like, please text me if you get stuck. I know airports tend to trigger your binge eating. We knew that that was an environment that just set her brain off every single time. So you want to just be looking for these things. Those are overeating windows. Your discovery worksheets, they will illuminate your patterns. They will tell you, like, there's certain phrases like, it tastes so good. If I think it tastes so good and I don't say something back, if I don't use that as a prompt to tell myself something else, then I will overeat. Because it's not that the food tastes good is the reason why I'm overeating. It's because when I think, oh, this tastes so good, I'm not reminding myself, and that's okay. It's supposed to taste good. I'm actually planning foods I love now. We don't have to hoover it anymore because I'm not going to take it away. I refuse to do that stuff anymore. So now we're like lowering the stress and anxiety over it tastes so good. So your discovery worksheets, they start illuminating a lot of your patterns. The waking up phase also, you might catch urge thoughts for the first time. That doesn't mean that you're not overeating yet. It just means like, oh, I never realized that when I see a few bites left behind, I think, oh God, it's such a shame that I'm not going to finish this. It's so wasteful to not eat these last three bites. Like sometimes we don't even know the things that we're telling ourselves. But in the waking up phase, when you start hearing those conversations, you're on track. That means like, shit, I'm now hearing things that last week or last month or whenever it was, that wasn't even on my radar as an optional thought. Like it was just happening and I didn't even know it. So that is our brain waking up. So how do you move to the next phase, which is the momentum phase? Let me give you the drop a mic moment. It has nothing to do with making yourself do good. The best way to move into the momentum phase is to not sit there and beat yourself up that you ain't yet saying no to the urges. This phase is about, and when it comes to urges, is a lot about noticing patterns that you didn't notice before. So if you want to move to the next phase, you have to have a good relationship with that. And yourself, which means you tell yourself, I'm so glad I'm starting to hear these things now. Because when I hear these things, now I'm going to be able to take the next steps, which is figure out how to cope with them when they happen. I'm going to be able to plan strategies for what to do the next time it happens, and the next time, and the next time. So in order to move to the next phase, it has nothing to do with brute force, willpower, and forcing yourself to be compliant. It has more to do with like, all right, I recognize this is a good thing happening. When I'm getting aware, when I've become very aware of the problems, I allow myself to also become aware of solutions. If you are not aware of the problems, you don't even know you need a solution. So the next phase is momentum phase. This is phase two of the phases of behavior change and habit change. Here are the signs that you're in this stage. You're getting used to thinking, I should do a discovery worksheet when you go off plan. So like that's becoming more normalized to you. Whereas before you might have been like, do it, like maybe you made yourself do a discovery worksheet or you kind of like were like, oh, I'm going to have to do one of them damn discovery worksheets. In phase two, when you're starting to get you some momentum, your brain starts going, okay, it's time to do a discovery worksheet when I eat off plan. It's like you take the temperature down on it. Another sign that you're in the momentum phase is where we're gaining momentum, is that you anticipate urges during your overeating windows. So whereas in the first phase, we just start noticing after the fact, when we're gaining momentum, we are now able to predict because we've gotten aware. It's like, okay, the weekend's coming. Here's the situations, the people, the feelings and stuff that I typically overeat. So now I can start having some game plans. Or now I can start looking into, why is it that this is a window? What is it that I'm really needing on the weekends that I'm not giving myself right now? When I'm stressed, what is it that I'm really needing to give myself in that moment? Because right now, the way that what I give myself with stress, I give myself food. So what do I need to give myself? Because here's the thing about stress and overwhelm and all the things. Y'all want to blame your jobs and you want to blame your kids and you want to blame your partners. You want to blame the world. You want to blame the government. You want to blame what we can and can't do in life. None of that is stressing you out. None of that's making you feel bad until you have a thought about all of it. The moment you have a thought about it, you create the feelings of stress. And the way that I teach you in No BS is like, if I could snap my fingers and like plug a happy government in that suited us all, don't you think I would? Don't you think any of us would? If I could snap my fingers and your kids would just suddenly behave, get straight A's, come up and be like, can I please do dishes tonight? It was his turn last night. I really want to do them. And like, could I have a bonus of taking out the trash? You just work so hard. I feel like I should just do my part. I know I'm only 8 years old, mama, but still. If I could snap my fingers and the magic of all that would happen, don't you think I would? Don't you think any of us would? Our problems don't have anything to do with the people and the circumstances of life. Our biggest problem is that when those things happen, we disempower ourselves. And when you disempower yourself, you create stress. And for many of you, you don't know how to deal with your own stress outside of just eating. So what we want to do is we want to learn how, like, when I feel stressed, I want to, like, in momentum phase, I just want to understand, how am I creating stress for myself? This is not to say there are not things like y'all. I'm like the rest of you. There is shit that happens. Crit wants to whine too. There's plenty of shit that goes on in this world where I'm just like, shh, that's some bullshit. So-and-so should do better. Like, I got all that. But what I don't do is sit there and create unintended stress for myself. When I feel stressed, I ask myself, what's going on here? What do you need right now? Sometimes I need a break. Sometimes I need compassion. Sometimes I just need to let go of my dumbass expectations. A lot of us as parents, like, we just think our kids should want to do dishes. Why the fuck you got them doing them? It ain't because you love it so much. So why do you want them to love it? It's like, well, I want them to want to do it so that I would know that they're responsible. It's like, you don't even want to do it. You're making your kids do it. Does that mean you're irresponsible? No. It's a shitty task. Nobody's probably excited about it. So that's fine, as long as they do it. Sometimes we just forget. We put so much stress on ourselves. I love it when I'm sitting there thinking that Chris and Logan should be enlightened, happy, and thrilled to do shit that I don't even want to do for us. That creates stress. If I can just let them be miserable with it, I'm much happier. I'm just like, yeah, I get it. I didn't like it. That's why I asked you to do it. I agree. Trash day blows a goat. That's the truth. So we have to be thinking about when we're in this phase, Like, where are we creating some of this? So when you're having your urges, number one, you'll start noticing in momentum phase that you're wanting to do your discovery worksheets because you want to find as many patterns as you can. You're not having to make yourself do them as much. You're also anticipating the urges you're going to have during these overeating windows. You're starting to notice, like, these are the situations. Let me game plan. Let me ask myself, what do I need in those moments? Especially when it comes to your patterns. Just ask yourself, this is a pattern. I always eat when I'm stressed. What, like, if it's not the situation creating the stress, what are my thoughts that are creating my stress? And allowing yourself to go through that. That's how you keep increasing momentum. Then we come up to the third phase, which is the make or break phase. Here's the signs that your urges, you're moving on up the scale. We're like the Jeffersons here. We're going to move on up. So we wake up to them. Now we're creating some momentum. And now we're in that make or break phase. This is where about 60% of the time you're noticing your urges and you're dealing with your urges. And some people quit here. And some people push through. So as long as you're not judging yourself for not being perfect, as long as you're looking at your discovery worksheets when it comes to urges as, this will help me. This is all part of the plan in order for me to lose my weight. This has nothing to do with my abilities. This has nothing to do with me being a failure. I am just learning more and more about myself each and every day. Here's the signs of when you're in the make or break phase when it comes to urges. You're practicing not eating sometimes on purpose when you normally would, just so you can see what you think about. You start to notice that you're no longer beating yourself up for your overeats first. You may still have those thoughts, but you notice that your brain is getting more and more used to breaking this down factually for you, figuring out what's going on. That part of the process doesn't feel as forced. It's starting to feel more natural. For a lot of us in the make or break phase, when it comes to urges, a lot of our bullshit eating has been cut, which means we've trained ourselves to not take bites, licks, and tastes while we are cooking. We notice that when we go out to eat, we're no longer the cleanup crew of everybody's plate when they're done. You don't ask for just a bite of a French fry or steak or something when you go out to eat. You're done with that part. You really realize, like in this phase, you're just like, most of the bullshit eating I've dealt with. I just don't grab the extras like I used to. And then you do notice, though, in this phase, it's majority when you get to the make or break phase of your work is really on the emotional pieces. And you may have even in this phase cleaned up some emotional stuff, but you've got certain times that there's still just work to do. Now, in order to move to the next phase, you just want to keep trying ways to meet the needs that your urge is signaling. This is where we really start, like the majority of the work in the make or break phase is about asking yourself, what do I really need? In this phase, I notice a lot of people get coaching on their urges. So you will see you are wanting to go to ask coaches. You don't want somebody to just give you tips and tricks and hacks anymore. You've moved out of needing those things. You're now at the part where it's like, I really want to uncover what's going on for me, so that I can solve the root cause of my emotional eating and just put it to bed. So you'll see yourself probably going to ask coaches also. And you'll be doing things like you'll notice the solve for your overeating tends to be things like, I need to ask for more help. Like, Before you were eating because you were ashamed to get help. Now you're asking for help. You might notice you're prioritizing sleep because you've really tried to just people please and do all the things. And you're in this phase, you start realizing your basic human needs are probably what's really lacking. And you've worked through enough to feel deserving enough to truly care for yourself. This is how we start notice, like the relationship with our urges, it becomes deeper. Not in a bad way, in a very compassionate way. You start really understanding the essence of why your overeats are happening. And you are becoming very comfortable with the idea of giving yourself what you've always really needed. There's not a lot of shame around it. Then the last phase, the habit phase. This is where your urges, they come up and you're used to them. You don't sit there and bitch about them anymore. You don't think that they're a problem standing in the way of your weight loss. You have a normalized relationship with them. So somewhere in phase two and three, you start noticing that like you're working on the relationship with the urge. You're moving away from thinking this keeps me from losing weight. I'll never get over this. If these things keep coming up, I'm not going to be able to lose weight. In phase four, you notice an energy shift around them. You notice that like you really understand that humans will always have urges for things. And there will just be times in life when your urges come back. Like if it's a very stressful time of life, let's say you're taking care of an aging parent and you're changing your job and like two or three other things are happening in your life. You will be aware so much so of like, this is a lot for me. And I can see why I would have a lot of urges right now. And you're working on it. So in this phase, like you have lots of ways that you've dealt with urges in the past. You've tried lots of things. You have found things that do work. You understand how to talk to yourself when urges hit. When you do overeat, you quickly shift into, okay, this happened. Let's break it down because it's worked and gotten me this far. One of the other things is you don't overreact to them. You're not freaking out anymore. You don't think something's going wrong with your weight loss because they're coming up. And for a lot of you, what I see in this phase is you get here, and I coached on this weekend. I believe it was maybe Brooke that I coached. I'm not 100% sure who I coached on, but someone I coached on this idea of, I thought I had put all this to bed. And I was telling y'all about the filing cabinet that exists in our head. So I want you to think about your brain. Go back, let's go to the Wayback Machine to like the 80s. When there were rooms full of filing cabinets because we didn't have everything stored on our computers and in, you know, Dropbox files and all that kind of stuff. Like if you wanted something, you had drawers and drawers and drawers in a big ass room full of invoices and files and all the things. Your brain is the same way. Your brain is very old school. It has just got filing cabinet after filing cabinet of stuff. And there's one big filing cabinet called urges. And inside of urges, it has folder after folder of every feeling, every situation, everything that could possibly go on. It's like, okay, if this happens, send up an urge. And then eventually what happens is you get really good at one urge, but then there'll be a mega urge, like a category 5 urge that will come in because you've had so many things happen. And then it will send that up. Your brain does not know that you're enlightened. Your brain doesn't think that like, oh, She doesn't want to overeat anymore. I should take all these files into the backyard, throw kerosene on them, and light a match. We would never want to use these again. None of y'all are having that happening. So you might as well give up that pipe dream right now. What your brain does is like, okay, I'm going to store all the urges in the urge file. I mean, she's doing good right now, but I know there's going to be a day and that bitch is going to need Oreos. And I don't want to be caught with my pants down and no way to talk to her about it. So it just files it away. And you lose a lot of weight and you think things are great. And then all of a sudden something rando happens and your brain is like, let me go to the archives, pulls it out and offers you an urge. Well, it makes sense. I want you to think about this. If you've been rocking and rolling for a long time, you haven't really had to deal with very many urges because think like you're in this new habit cycle and stuff, and your brain suddenly just offers something old. You're probably just going to take it. You're not used to dealing with that urge anymore. And so you do. And your brain's like, let's keep it. Let's put it in the filing cabinet now. Let's keep it on the desk. She's going to need this. Not only is she going to need it, when she ate them Oreos, she felt good. Like real good. That quickly did the trick. And you didn't do a discovery worksheet because you're sitting there thinking, oh, I should be beyond this. This is not a big deal. Whatever. Unless you go back and you do the things that got you here, your brain is going to leave that folder sitting right out on the table so that you have to see it every day. And it's quickly accessible. So don't be shocked if urges come back. But the way to stay in the habit phase with them is to do what got you there, which is you don't make it a big deal. You don't freak out, but you do have to learn from it. The biggest mistake that I watch people do when they get to have phase four. In phase four, 80% of the time things are working and 20% of the time things are still happening. That 20% of the time, they sweep it under the rug. Not a big deal. Oh, it's okay. I'll get back on track tomorrow. They don't think, hey, this happened. It's not a big deal, but I want to learn from it. Why did my brain think it was okay to offer an urge up to begin with? Why is this normal? And the next time this happens, what do I want? How do I want to respond to this? If we nip things in the bud, we stay in habit phase four. If we don't, then we go back to make or break. That's not, and I want you to take this seriously. We're not going backward as if going backward is wrong. These phases, we slide up and down them. Every one of them has ways to move back up and every one of them has ways to move back down. You just want to stay really aware. If you notice you're in the like make or break phase, if you notice that you're stress eating again, then you've got to like say, all right, it's time for me to sit and it's time for me to really dig into what do I truly need? Is there anything I've gotten away from? Is there anything I've just kind of gotten a little lazy on doing? Am I still doing my discovery worksheets? I watch a lot of you have a lot of initial success for a few months and you're just like, I was planning, I was doing discovery worksheets, Corinne, I was doing it all. And then suddenly I just wasn't doing anything. No, you slowly eroded. No one ever just suddenly quits when they were doing really good. They just had things that they slowly quit doing, which means you just want to identify those things and you want to slowly add them back in. So add the discovery worksheets back in first. And I want you to all ask yourself this question. If I wasn't making this a big ass deal, like for all of you who are sitting around like, oh, Corinne, it's been so long. I'm just been half-assing. I just don't know what I need to do to get started. Or my favorite, I'm so scared to get started. Let me ask you this. If you weren't being a fucking Eeyore who's, trying out to be on the next telenovela, if you took all your drama out, what would you do today? Mosey would be like, well, I would just sit down and make that plan because it takes 3 minutes. Okay. You know how to do it. Like, do not ever allow yourself to, like, I just don't know how to get started. Yeah, you do. Let me show you. Here's a fucking pen and paper. Not complicated. Who needs me to shoot a video on how to write down on a piece of paper? Said no one ever. Y'all don't need that. You need to quit telling yourself it won't work. It's too hard. It'll take a long time. Ain't got no time. You got time. If you got time to bitch and moan, my favorite is when y'all go to the Facebook group, type a big ass post about what you ain't doing and telling us when you ain't got time. If you got time to go to the Facebook group and leave us a novella of about how much time you ain't got to do things, why didn't you just use that to make a 24-hour plan? In that amount of time, you probably could have made 10 for the next 10 days. But when we make things so dramatic, guess what? We waste our time. How much time are you spending not doing shit and thinking about shit you should be doing? I always love this picture of, like, people say, well, I don't really have time to make my 24-hour plan. And yet they do have time to stand in the pantry every day at 5 o'clock and stare wistfully into it and try to decide what they want to eat, if they should eat, and wonder why they hadn't lost weight and ponder all of that shit. And then every night lay in bed going like, psh, I blew it again. That counts as time. That's time that you're wasting. And you're wasting your emotional energy to boot. So if you're just going to feel really terrible about how you're showing up, I would love for you to just do a plan and feel really terrible about doing it. At least if you're doing the plan, you're greasing the wheels on habits. The other thing about this is that for a lot of you, you're very scared. Like, the reason I like to introduce this, these urges things, is y'all get really scared about, I'm just scared to go all in again. I saw somebody post this yesterday in the Facebook group. I'm like, okay, you're scared to go all in. But have you asked yourself this question? If I sit back and just fear taking the steps, what result am I going to get? Goose egg. I will get this result. Nothing will change. I will stay scared. I will set myself up every day to have to think about what I haven't done. I'm giving myself the gift every morning of doing nothing the day before, judging myself for that, and then being scared to start. The worst thing that's going to happen is if you start, maybe you fuck it up and beat yourself up. Aren't you doing that now? Doesn't it feel like shit now? So you ain't saving yourself, dick. There's no saving yourself. But if you do go for it, get off your ass and just start. At the very least, you've opened the door to something working. You've at least opened the door to the idea of, if it doesn't work, my first lesson is to learn how to talk differently to myself when things don't go the way I think they should. Because you probably wouldn't be where you are if you had a good conversation with yourself. But if you don't even try, then you stay stuck in the mindset that if I fail, I suck. Instead of like, go for it. And if you fail, learn how to have your own back. And then you'll go for it again. And you'll go for it again until you have figured it out. So I just always tell people, look, if you're going to be sitting around feeling like shit, then you might as well feel like shit while doing things you don't want to do. Because those things that I'm telling you to do actually can help you. The way you're doing it can't. All right. Let's see if we've got some questions. Where did my Zoom window go? Hang on. Let me take a drink of water too. All right. I'm getting better at recognizing and sitting through urges in the evening. However, at 3 a.m., I feel genuinely hungry and sitting through the urge seems senseless. I do not go back to sleep until after I've eaten something. I try to stick to fruit like a banana or cheese. Is this really impacting my weight loss at a standstill, or should I be looking at other parts of the day? Catherine, I'd probably look at like whatever you're eating before. So there's a couple things that can be happening here. Number one, whatever you're eating for dinner just may not be able to last you all the way through. So maybe just adding, usually what I would recommend is add some protein or fat. Very often, especially fat, if you add a little fat to your dinner, like maybe more dressing on a salad, some avocado, nuts, seeds on a salad, something like that. Fat takes a lot longer for your body to process. So maybe when you're sleeping at night, whatever you're eating as the last meal just doesn't have enough energy to sustain you. The other thing that could be happening, and this happens a lot, is you may need to sit with the urge. Do not eat at 3 a.m. for, like, it will probably take about 5 days. But do it so that you can untrain your stomach to get hungry in the middle of the night. There are some people like where, like a lot of times I will, like when y'all first start, you'll hear the four basics, you'll eat your dinner. And then at 9 o'clock, you'll be like, I really feel like I'm hungry. But then when you look at what you ate for dinner, you're like, God, I just really shouldn't be hungry. I mean, I know I had enough food. I can take when I look at it, it would make sense that my body shouldn't be asking for food. Your body is very habitual. Like our thoughts are habitual. Our body loves habitual patterns. If you've been used to eating at a certain time, your body doesn't know not to send up hunger signals if it gets conditioned to. So you have to decondition that part, which means that sometimes you just have to sit through it for a few days. And then your body's like, all right, if we're not going to eat at 3 o'clock, it'll sleep through it. So that's one thing you could do. You can also make sure that you just make sure you're getting enough fat in your diet during the day. A lot of women don't get enough fat in their diets. I call it the curse of the 80s and 90s when everything was low fat, low fat, low fat. And a lot of us still have it in our head that low fat is the best way to go. I don't eat. The only time I ever eat anything that's low fat is, and y'all are going to laugh when I say this, I grew up on skim milk. I was laughing with, I don't remember who I was talking to the other day. We both have the same problem. I can't drink anything above skim milk. Everything else literally turns my stomach. It feels, I mean, I might as well just be drinking pudding. And it's like that for me. So make sure that you're getting enough fat in your diet. So you might even want to look at that. That could be helpful. I just got through, here's my big ass empty bowl of oatmeal left over from breakfast, but I put like hemp seeds in it. I put pumpkin seeds in it and I put full fat cottage cheese in it for protein. I also put collagen in it and I have my oatmeal in it. Is there anything else I put in that shit? Not sure. I think that's everything I put in there. And then, so just make sure you're getting that so it will sustain you. I've been a middle of the night eater. It's middle of the night eating day. I would get the urge in the middle of the night since being a kid. So far, 3 weeks in the program, I've not done so. How do I handle a middle of the night urge when I wake up and it's like being on autopilot? I think first is just like waking up to it. Like you are in the waking up phase. It's like literally in the waking up phase where you're like, all right, this is my pattern. And so now you're going to want to wake up and you're going to have a game plan on how you're going to decondition that urge. So somebody asked, what does decondition for a few days means? It really means not responding. So just because your body is saying like, ooh, we should eat something in the middle of the night, deconditioning would be knowing you're going to wake up and having a game plan for saying no. And you want to have a game plan for saying no that is peaceful, not agitating. Most of the time we do is like, okay, I knew it was coming. I can't eat. We're going to have to go to sleep. And I bet this is going to suck. And we do all this bullshit. I would want you to sit and first and foremost, think about why is this not going to be a big deal? How can you make it as easy as possible to decondition your night urges? Like right now, you've got a fully loaded story of like, I've been doing it since a kid. That's going to make it harder. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. Do you know how your body knows what you've done the last few days? And then when you change and you do something else, it quickly wants to adapt to put a new pattern in. This is the funny thing about thoughts and stuff. It literally doesn't matter how long you've thought something. It doesn't matter how long you've believed something. What really matters is what is the story you're going to tell today in the face of the old story? So I would probably tell myself, like, I've noticed a pattern. It's not a big deal that I've done it all of my life. Here's what I'm going to do starting tonight. When I wake up, if you want to pop in a meditation, I'm like tonight, the next three nights, I'm going to try a meditation when I wake up in the middle of the night. I've heard through the grapevine that these things work. So I'm going to like go to Spotify. There's free ones all over the internet. I can download an app if I want to. There's the Calm app. I forget which one Chris uses. Chris uses Headspace. I've used Calm. Spotify has their own stuff. Peloton has meditations. If you have the Peloton app, there's plenty of them out there. So you can say like, all right, for the next few days, I'm going to try meditation and I'm going to see if that helps. And then I would just tell myself, my brain is likely to think these things when I wake up that I really need to go eat. My brain is likely to think that this is going to screw up my sleep. Not really. I would just tell myself, it's not going to screw up my sleep. I bet you I can function just fine if I am up for an hour thinking about food. I tell myself, like, at least once or twice a week, I get woke up in the middle of the night for crazy reasons. Sometimes I just wake up and I can't go back to sleep. I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. I'm just, my brain is like, it's 3 a.m. What are we doing? And I'm like, we're just going to lay in bed. We're going to sit here bored as fuck, probably, like, because we're not getting up yet. I always tell myself, look, it's too early to get up, brain. We can lay here if you want to think about what you're going to do for the day. If you want to try to problem solve, you can. If you want to sit here, I've said Hail Marys before. Like, you know, I'm Catholic. I'm like, I know the Hail Mary. Like, I'll just sit here and say a bunch of Hail Marys. Usually that puts me straight to sleep. I just do things like that. But what I don't do is go like, oh no, I'm going to be so tired. This is really going to suck the next day. I'm like, this is not going to suck. I had a baby. I know what real sleep deprivation's like. That was in the first 18 months of Logan's life. He was up 5 and 6 times a night and I was up with him. Like a 3 a.m. wake up because I'm hungry and having to sit through an urge ain't got nothing on my ass. Like, I just tell myself stuff like that. That keeps the anxiety down. That helps me be like, okay, I don't need to sit here and work myself up around things. So I would ask myself, how can this be easy? What are things that I can try? I bet it won't take but a few days and this will start unwinding itself. My brain will get used, like, think about it. If you're sitting there thinking after a few days, my brain's going to get used to trying to go back to sleep instead of just asking for food over and over again. Never forget the power of your brain wanting to put everything on habit. It wants to put things on habit for y'all. But you have to be willing to let it do that by showing it what we're going to do. I can handle urges pretty well on a normal day, thanks to no BS. I'm having more issues in a time of crisis. My daughter had a suicide attempt a week ago due to social drama, and I'm here at her college campus trying to stabilize her situation because she wants to try to at least finish the semester. I'm trying to remember the four N's and I'm using pause for permission. Any other suggestions? This is so damn hard. Yeah, I would just tell myself, this is what I would tell myself, Michelle. Number one, I would use the four. I wouldn't worry so much about the urges. I would be doing the four ends on your daughter's situation. Let's take the temperature down there to where, like, whatever it is that's going on in your mind about this, like, your brain is probably freaking out, which would be normal. We all love our babies. Nobody ever wants to see our babies hurting and stuff. But that's what you want to be telling yourself. It's like, yes, this is a hard time for me, because what mother would want this for their kid? Not this mother, not any mother. So you do that, that kind of takes that situation down. When it comes to the urges, here's what I would just tell myself. My baby is not going to do better because I decided to eat over this. I'm not going to mother better because I'm eating. You might even tell yourself, like, look, if I try all these other things and I just can't handle it, the very least, I want to eat deliberately. Maybe this is a time when I'm like, okay, I'm going to work on my thinking. I'm going to be here for her. How is the best way for me to be here for myself? Maybe you put some flexibility into your plans. But you think about those things. You think about, what would comfort really look like here? Not every moment of our life, we should be highly focused on weight loss, but there are moments in our life where we want to make sure that we aren't just eating because we give up, like give up on having our own back emotionally. And that might be your goal through this. It's like I'm not here to lose weight this week, but I definitely, or next 2 weeks, however long you're going to be there, but I definitely want to learn how to be there for my daughter and be there for myself. And what are the best ways to do that? Because they can happen. And it doesn't take time. It takes what goes on between your ears. It takes you thinking about and listening to, how are you talking to yourself about all of it? I know very often in these situations, moms try to take all the responsibility as if maybe there was something you didn't do or whatever. And it's like, those are the things that you want to be putting through the four ends. That's the stuff that we want to be thinking about. I'm good all day with my program, but I'm having a hard time at night after all the stress of the day hits me and my pain really kicks in. I feel the urge to treat myself, but you're not treating yourself. But no, that's not healthy. Rather than just telling yourself it's unhealthy, I would just tell myself, like, if I'm wanting to treat myself, what is it that I'm not treating? What discussions with myself throughout the day, what compassionate discussions during the day am I not treating myself to right now? And figuring out what is causing the stress, because it's really easy to think it's this person, it's this job, it's this situation. Write all that down and then say, and what are my thoughts about it that create the stress? We have to pinpoint what's actually causing stress. It is not things, y'all. Trust me. Stress is generated by your perception of what's happening around you. Like, I can't handle this. They shouldn't say this. I don't have enough time. A lot of us throw that around all the time as if it's just true. And yet, y'all get the things done that you need to get done. Rather than saying, I don't have enough time, just say, like, every day I get things done that it's like, most of you have never, ever been like, you know what? I just ran out of time to feed my infant. You know, them kids of mine, I ran out of time to get them to school. I ran out of time to show up for my job today because I was doing other shit. I got so busy vacuuming and crap. Y'all aren't running out of time. You're prioritizing all of the time. And you don't give yourselves credit for it. You may have false expectations as to how much you can get done in a day. And you need to be like, oh, it's not that I don't have enough time. It's just like, some of this stuff, it's good if I get to it, but it's not worth telling myself, I just never have time for anything. It's like, no. It's not true. You have time for the things you decide you want to do. Some of you need to want to take care of yourself more than you want to make sure that your couch cushions got vacuumed. Like, these are the questions we really have to start asking ourselves. And we're not asking those questions. We're so busy blaming things for our feelings that we're not taking authority of where can I figure out what is my perception of stuff? Where are some of the decisions I need to start making in order to put me back on the list some? That doesn't mean other people have to suffer. It just means I just don't need to do everything anymore that I keep thinking I have to or I should. Should I really do this? I was joking around with somebody. I was like, I ain't folded clothes in forever. When I wash clothes, we just don't fold them. You know why? I don't want to spend an hour of my week folding clothes. There will not be, like, some of y'all love it and you love the result. You know what? I don't really give a shit at all. Nobody in my family even cares if their clothes are wrinkled, especially Logan. Guess what I did? I was just like, fuck that shit. We're going to have clean clothes. And y'all can fish your shit out of the basket if need be. That's how we're going to roll. We just drop expectations sometimes because we forget that we even have the option. But if you're just like, oh, good mother folds clothes and I have to do it and nobody else will help me. Yeah, you feel like shit. You know what Corinne's doing? Sitting over here looking at a basket full of clothes being like, yeah, I know where the clean ones are. And I got an hour of my week back every week. So if I want to watch the Netflix during that hour, I certainly can. A lot of us just need to just think through stuff more. So she said, I want to treat myself. So one of the things is like, if you are saying things like, I need to treat myself, you need to look for how am I not treating myself through the week? What is it like your brain is saying? I desperately want to be cared for. I need you to pay attention to me. And so you are doing it with food. So take the amount of time that you're doing it with food and decide how, like, what is it that I really need right now? And start giving it to yourself. I am thinking and feeling ready and able to level up in the areas of bites, licks, and tastes, and the thought that a little bit won't hurt. I'm in maintenance, 3 pounds over for about 3 months now. It feels wonderful, but it's only been 2 days of embracing this. How do I cement this and foster these ideas? I think you're doing it already. Like, the biggest thing is just every time you think a little bit won't hurt, I would just tell myself, eh, that's not even a real thing. Like, that's just a thought that I say to get me giddy to eat something. And there's a couple of ways to do it. You can tell yourself how a little bit adds up. So like, it's not that a little bit won't hurt. The truth is a little bit adds up over time. Right now it's added up to 3 pounds. Oh, wait, that's the truth. Sometimes we just have to tell our brain the truth. Sometimes I tell myself when I think a little bit won't hurt, I'm like, hell yeah, it'll hurt. It'll hurt my integrity. It'll hurt keeping my own back. Those are the things that it hurts. I tell myself the truth there. It's just really like when you hear that sentence, you really want to have something else to go along with it. Otherwise, that sentence does feel true unless it's combated. Someone asked, do we have any word on camp? It's going to be next July. So just for everybody to know, we're having one camp next year. It's going to be in July. We are releasing the dates of next year's camp in December. So you can all look forward to that. We are finalizing contracts and all kinds of things right now. So that will all be next year. And if you are brand new and you're like, what is camp? Camp is an in-person event that we do here in Nashville. And then we also do a virtual option. So we usually have about 200 plus people come and they're in the room with me for a 3-day weekend. And then we also sell a virtual option so that you can watch camp live the entire weekend from the comfort of your own home. But like I said, all information will be going out in December about camp. All right. That's it for today. Y'all have a good one. I will see everyone on Sunday, y'all. Bye.